What's happening? Fourth hour hashtag fastest 4 hours in radios upon you, upon us. Blessed to bring it to you courtesy of all Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Our final hour of the week. Pro football focus. We're going to jump into this power rankings in a second. The debate is now Paolo Banchero number one. How? Well,
Vegas odds, man.
All I'm saying is, when I saw this odds switch yesterday morning, I just assumed that was what was going to happen. It's like, why would it switch? It didn't make any sense because it was just as a foregone conclusion it's going to be Jabari Smith. Well, it wasn't.
Well, apparently listened to Mike DeCourcy kind of say, you know, his upside is already pretty much ready-made to go when you look at his size. It's, what is it, Scottie Pippen that doesn't have to add any weight? I think that's a very good comparison if you're looking at that, man.
Yeah.
Not saying that any of his side is wrong, but yeah, that's pretty savvy right there, Jay.
I think if you ended up with any of those three guys, you were likely to be pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fan of one of those fan bases, I am happy. So we'll see. Holmgren's weight, they said the same thing about Durant. Not going to say he's going to be Durant. Kristaps is also kind of thin. You just want him to be healthy. That would be the only question mark there. But
Yeah, for sure. But the thing is, he's played physical. You watch him play. He's quick. He's shifty. He has fallen to the ground. But he, you know, who? Oh, Ja. Ja was got to say he has to learn how to land. You know, like he do drills as far as his landing in the offseason and stuff like that and during practice. I feel like Chet has gotten to a point to where when he's fallen, because he is so lanky and just tall and thin, you see him fall, you hardly ever see him hit the ground hard. Like, he falls with grace, if you can kind of say that. You know, you heard somebody say, man, you fall like a non-athlete. Well, he's a guy that falls with a lot of grace, man. He hits the ground and kind of slide a little bit like he's breaking his fall all the way down. And that is a long break because he is a tall kid, man.
So, yeah, the PFF, we're going to do the power rankings in a second. Another interesting piece that Mike Renner put together, which is looking back to 2006 and picking every team's best value draft pick. Like somebody they got that turned into a steal for them. Pittsburgh's, I think you could probably figure that one out.
Me?
Anybody.
Best pick since 2006?
Like, again, we're talking about best value picks.
Best value pick?
Could you think about it, like a Tom Brady, he's going to be all time, right?
Best value
or
pick.
Or Russell Wilson.
It ain't James Harrison. He wasn't.
You know who it is. You got a freezer in your house.
Oh, AB.
Yeah.
Antonio, yeah, you're right. It didn't cross
195th
my mind.
Overall pick in 2006.
Sixth rounder, yep. I didn't even think of AB. It's crazy.
I'm trying to see if any of these other names... Tyreek Hill was 165th.
Was he really?
Kansas City, yeah.
Well, I mean, he had some issues. His measurables, too. Yeah.
He had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Leonard was 36th. He's the Colts. That's a higher name. J.J. Watt for the Texans was 11th.
Hello.
He's mentioned as a value pick.
As a value pick at 11?
Mm-hmm.
Hell no.
I don't think that doesn't fit. Look, Calvin Johnson for the Lions was second overall, and they're saying that. So I guess it's best ROI, like return on investment pick.
Investment.
Since 06.
And I would say this, too. As far as Houston goes with J.J. Watt, I mean, they are a young franchise still. So, yeah, you got to kind of throw him in there. You said Megatron for Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
What actually have they had? Pick. Can we be real?
Right.
And the Stafford and him lately? Since 06?
I mean, them, and then you'd start to talk about guys like Hockenson. But, yeah, it's thin.
Yeah,
it's very, very thin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Chet Holmgren.
Yes, yeah, very Chet.
The Raiders, Derek Carr. The Chargers, Justin Herbert. So it's weird some of the value picks that they're making here. Adam Thielen was a UDFA in 2013. That qualifies more. Vikings getting what they've gotten out of Thielen.
Okay, they kind of skewed the rules right there a little bit then if they're going to say Adam Thielen. You undrafted, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, that's right, because it's best value draft picks.
They skewed the rules right there.
Players who outperform their draft slots in such a way the team can overpay for players elsewhere is how it's described. So whatever draft slot, obviously, you could pay because he was a UDFA.
Oh, no, don't try to put us in the group of draft picks when you overlooked us. Don't try to do it now, PFF. Oh, is this PFF?
Mm-hmm.
Screw you, PFF.
George Kittle, 146th overall. Russell Wilson's like gold standard material for that. Levante David was 58th. Terry McLaurin was 76th. Who do you think they put for the Titans?
Titans? Hello, give me a Derek, Beyer, or Harold.
Come on, man.
Not his value picks. Those were all third round and above.
Well, they gave it's a Megatron.
They got the second pick overall as one of these two. So yeah. It's people that outperformed their draft position or allowed you to pay elsewhere.
Oh, Ramon's right. Suck at PFF. Yeah.
It's a weird piece.
Who they got for the Titans then? CJ2K?
Somebody that doesn't play here anymore.
Clowney?
I'm kidding.
Oh, no, Jason. I see the look in your eyes now.
Now you know why I did this topic.
AJ.
That's right.
Ah, golly, we suck again. Hey.
But again, based on the premise, it's just.
They did it last year. It was Jason McCourty.
Can I? No. If we're talking about best value.
No, I've got the answer for that.
Who?
Courtland Finnegan.
Courtland? Since 06? Yep.
Seventh round.
I would have said you would have had to have been. Below like round four.
Yeah.
Or at least round three or below.
Even still, if you're going to put AJ there, hell no. We got.
I mean, he was 51st.
Two all pros. Well, we got Derek as an all pro, 2,000 yard getter. He should have been there. That was dumb. Yes, that was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So is Kevin Beyer, another second, third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a higher value than AJ Brown.
Mm-hmm. Courtland Finnegan was a Pro Bowler, seventh rounder in the 2006 draft.
Yo! What the hell is wrong with you, Jason? We're live on radio right now.
I turned off my mic.
I couldn't tell.
Yes, you could.
No. I really couldn't. It startled me.
Shut your stupid face.
I thought you just backed up.
Oh, man.
David Bakhtiari was 109.
Shooketh.
Bakhtiari being 109.
Mm-hmm.
He qualifies. Almost think you should be 100 or below.
Yeah.
To really be like seeing that. Dak Prescott was 135th.
I think depending on position, too, you could. Like a second round running back could be a guy.
Geno, your guy. He's their guy. 120th.
Hell yeah. Yes. I agree with every bit of that. Geno was that guy, man.
Bills is Josh Allen. I mean, he was seventh. What is this?
Well, who have they had also? You know what this is a reflection of? How bad teams draft.
True.
And manage teams, too. This is, if you got nobody else other than who did you just say a second ago? Calvin Johnson. You got nobody better than him in Detroit. Your scouting department sucks. Just gonna say that as blunt as I can on radio right now. If that's your best draft pick
that's a great draft pick.
I know he's a great but I'm saying like to build a team, mm-hmm. you gotta like really bring it all the way in. Like getting Derrick Henry in the second round again. Beyerd. Being a second round safety who's now an all pro, that's a value right there, Jay.
He was a third round safety, wasn't he?
Third round safety?
I believe so.
Either way, he wasn't a projected first rounder. Let's say like a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick
or something like that. No.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He wasn't top 10. Jay, that's wild. People are saying that was loud. Super loud.
What are we talking about?
Your sneeze.
Nah.
That sounded like a screech. Your new name is Screech now.
PFF also has top five offensive and defensive duos ahead of the 2022 NFL season. We'll talk about that, and we will go through Monson's power rankings in more detail than just mention where the Titans and Colts are and see how many spots we might place Tennessee up above. Like how many teams are we not so sure better than Tennessee on this list? By the way, Tennessee was 17. Indy was 15. We'll come back. It's Jay Martin and Mo on 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
You're tired. You are running home
film. I don't give up.
You are running on films right now, and I hear it in your voice. You never finished telling me about the day, the night that you had last night, man. On the list scale of rankings.
Yesterday didn't end well.
It was top five. Was it top five last night? Top 10?
It was tough. Let's just say that. It was tough. It's all right.
What would you rank them?
So we're going through this list of annoying people.
Are we AFC West or are we NFC South?
Number one was pushing buttons just to make you react. Number two, oversharing. Number three, no personality outside of my relationship. Number four, holier than thou, one up. Number five, everything's a joke, don't be so serious. Number six, intrusive social media twits. Number seven, inconsiderate jerks. Number eight, I find that offensive virtue signal guy. Number nine, can't even adult. Number 10, those who don't think you have a life outside of their needs. Number 11, manipulative guilt trippers. Incredibly selfish people that have learned the best way to get what they want whenever they want is to manipulate other people.
Wow.
Guilt tripping with passive aggressiveness are two of their key methods. They make everyone around them resentful and miserable with their behavior. It's really annoying. More so, it has the opposite effect than desired on most people, since no one wants to spend more time with a person who pulls this kind of crap.
Man, that sounds terrible.
Number 12, can't put their phone down or they'll die.
Ooh.
More and more prevalent, but it needs to stop. It's incredibly annoying when you're out with a friend or in with your partner and they're on their phone instead of talking with you and they're just offering, yeah, uh-huh, for real, responses during a conversation because they're scrolling through their feeds at the same time.
Wait. That's you.
No, wait. Moan does that without even looking at his phone.
I added for real to that because, yeah.
Yeah, he added for real.
It does drive me nuts if I go out to dinner with a friend and they've just got their phone out. Like, why are we even here, man?
I'll put the phone on the table, but it's face down.
I always do it face down so they know, hey, phone is present, but I'm here for you, not for that.
Sure, Jay, sure.
No, I literally,
nah, I'm
unless there's an emergency situation, I try to not even have it on the table half the time.
Okay.
And now CG just takes it off the table and drops it to the floor. Oh, same goes if they're taking photos of literally everything. Food that they eat, selfies, posting it on Instagram immediately, then checking to see how many likes they've gotten. This point right here, to me, is huge. A lot of people have forgotten basic impersonal skills.
I force my kids to talk. Have conversations. Mm-hmm. I'll strike up a silly conversation just to make them have conversations with me because the art of talking is through text. It's weird.
Not being present with another person is rude and it stunts your growth.
What?
I mean, I'm writing that. I'm putting that part at the end of it, but they stopped at rude, but I think it kind of stunts your growth. Like you, just what you're saying. If you're not having a bunch of conversations, you never learn how to deal with people.
I thought you were talking about heights.
No.
Oh, yeah. You're okay. No. Intellectual growth.
Number 13, apparently raised by wolves. Eat with their mouths open, chomping, slurping their way through every meal. Belch unapologetically, dirty feet on the table. Don't wash their hands after using the toilet. They basically behave like feral beasts that have never learned even basic decorum. Can we have some decorum, please?
Sound like
and
my
make
kids.
You want to cringe.
Oh, I hope no one's in the control room 6 to 10 with me.
That sounds like
you
kids.
Should be in Iceland. It'd be better for you, Shafes. Belching and farting in public, not considered rude in Iceland.
Oh, yeah?
In public, if I'm outside the control room, I will show more
public
decorum.
If you will.
In the control room, I don't care. Well, no one's usually here until like 8:30.
Yeah, I got some spray in there.
Number 14, yeah, fitness diet junkies.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you set foot in your office, colleague comes up, tells you all about CrossFit achievements and how they're training for the Tough Mudder Challenge. Then they ask when you're going to start working out because you know you'd look and feel so much better if you just let them introduce you to their trainer. You go out for lunch with a friend. She exasperates the poor server with all of her dietary substitutions. Unfortunately, that is kind of me.
I was wondering when you was going to pick that up.
I mean, I was going to say it is a little bit you.
Yeah. The other two points really aren't. No, I don't tell you about workouts I'm doing and all that kind of stuff.
I agree with that.
But I have a lot of dietary substitutions.
Yeah.
I have to. Last month, she was on a whole grain vegan kick. Now she's full keto, and she tells you all about her supplement routine because you asked, which you didn't, of course. Great to be passionate. Others might not share your zeal. In fact, they might have health issues you're not aware of. Having you go off on them for not sharing your obsession will make them feel like crap. Do it at the gym or juice bar with people who are of like mind.
Mm.
CrossFit guy. Look, this is the whole that guy wrapped in a different wrapper.
What was it?
That was not well said.
No, what? It wasn't. What was that again? The who guy?
That was Fitness Diet Junkies.
Fitness Diet. That was Jason Martin.
No. 15.
Which I'm mad at it. I appreciate it.
15. Space Invaders. You might experience this today, Mom. Have you ever been on a flight, train ride, or other long-distance voyage of sorts, and the person sitting next to you won't shut up?
Oh, my God.
It's just
yes.
horrible. There you are wanting to be left alone to watch the in-flight movie in peace. Your seatmate keeps jabbing you with their elbow to make mm-hmm. you look at something. Or they want to tell you all about their plans, their traveling, their family, their relationship. Not cool at all. They might be friendly, but they're also intruding on your space, on your free will, on your personal needs. If you feel the need to chat up your seatmate, maybe ask them if they feel like talking. They might be returning home from a funeral or something like that and have no interest in conversation.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. There have been a few flights where the person next to me, we've had lovely conversation for the length of the flight.
Yeah.
So it depends.
I'm with you.
Number 16. Boy, oh boy. Well, actually, don't you just love it when people step into a conversation and start blathering to show off how knowledgeable they are, especially when they don't bother to ask whether you already know about said topic and just monologue about it? The author here, not long ago, I read an article in which an author mentioned something that happened at her book release party. Some guy came over to her and started prattling on about the book's topic. He didn't even hear her when she replied, "Yes, I know, I wrote the book." He was so in the zone, so keen to show off how amazingly brilliant, well-versed he was, he didn't stop talking until some other guy yelled at him and pointed out that the woman in front of him was, in fact, the author of the book he was citing.
Wow.
Then he blushed and ran away. Some people get really engrossed in subjects that they're passionate about, then take every opportunity to prattle on about them. They might not want to sound like pretentious wannabe professors, but they end up sounding like that.
I think a lot of people fall into that group.
Yeah,
I think so. This is just a matter of how often you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would suck to be around that guy. What?
I'm just seeing if anybody's guilty in the room. Like you said that, and I was looking around to see if
a hit dog gonna holler.
I don't think any of the three of us are guilty of that one.
No, but
there's
everybody
like three
has
or four other ones. I'm guilty of. I don't think that one's one.
Everybody has that moment. Though.
I think there's sometimes we all have to hold our tongue where we want to show how much we know or impress and all this stuff.
You want
something really. This is going to
go ahead. This
bad.
Is for free.
Yeah, this is free.
All right.
You want to know something really interesting about me?
Tell me.
Not much.
This caught Abby off guard. She said she had no idea about this. I don't know that I should say this on air.
Well, that means you should.
There has never been a guest interview we have ever done that I've ever done in my career that I haven't been extremely nervous about.
Really?
Everyone.
That's fine.
Every conversation, every interview with a guest. And if it's a guest that I know a couple of days in advance is coming on, especially if it's something I am familiar with, know a lot about, or something like that, I have a hard time sleeping. I'll dream about that conversation. Mm-hmm. That I don't know what it is. I think it just, you know, Mon, you come from a world where you played for a professional sports organization and, you know, people have treated you differently in terms of some people look up to you and mm-hmm. a lot of stuff like that. Me, it's always weird if somebody knows me and I catch that second wind. And it happens more often now than certainly it used to. But when I'm talking to a guest, I'm always just like, my belief is I just want them to think I know what I'm doing.
Oh.
I want them to think that was a good question and then give a good answer. I want the listener to feel like that conversation was worth the time spent. And a lot of times, probably 3/4 of the time that I'm part of an interview, I'm not satisfied with what I just did. Like I don't know why. It's just so to that point, like the well actually stuff, I try my best to do the exact opposite, especially in a guest conversation, because like when you start talking about the offensive line, I try to throw stuff at you to keep you moving.
But
I don't know my rear end from a hole in the ground when it comes to offensive line technique and things like that.
It's clear I don't know movies a whole lot. I know pop culture, but just not at the details that you do. I mean, it's fake it till you make it in a sense to continue the conversation. But there are some comments. Puka Hare just said it makes it more impressive because you control it well, Jason. Puka, Cousin Hightower said that's understandable. I think a lot of people go into that. It's also just a matter of just staying comfortable and being being okay with not knowing. I got to that point a long time ago as far as that goes. Like, I would be around, I'd be walking with guys that were my teammates that had a higher, higher status than I did. One of my best friends in the world is Marquise Pouncey. He's texting me right now, as a matter of fact. He's got a nephew at, visiting UT right now. And we go out all the time. You know I played. Because of the size, you may know a little bit about me, but everybody knew him. He was a twin, first round draft pick and stuff like that. And it was so many times we'd be out to dinner and people would hold a conversation with me. And then it's, oh, hey, Ramon, out. I was like, why would I take offense? I know where I am. The level of being comfortable in society of, I guess you could call it being self-aware. You got to kind of gradually get into it too. Like, it don't bother me if somebody walks up to you or Shafe and hold a 20-minute conversation. Like, oh, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm like, cool. That's just less talking that I got to do. So in those moments, man, you handle it well. I never would have thought that. You seem well prepared.
That's what Abby said. She goes, you'd never know it.
You'd never know.
Which is why I was like, maybe I shouldn't mention it, but. To the list, it's just like,
well, it's just being human.
Yeah,
it is.
Just
it's
like,
human.
We bring on David Beauclair. I'm like, I don't want David Beauclair to leave us and be like, God, what an idiot. Why would you ask that? And I mean, he does that every time I have him on because I'm sure I ask him something stupid. But it's just that. And especially if it's somebody you respect, somebody you really, really like and appreciate their work and their knowledge and all this kind of stuff. I want, you know, Mike Keith to think I know what I'm doing because I hold him up to such a high standard of broadcasting and all of this other kind of stuff. And you, if we're talking about football, I want you to think, all right, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
At least a little bit and things of that nature. Like, I don't know. That's just my broadcasting mind. The way that it works is just, I care about what the other people that I'm doing the job with and or around think of the performance that I'm offering.
We're all self-conscious. That's with every little thing that we go through in life, man. To me, I'll be honest with you, I got to a point where I don't care. Like, maybe I've been criticized enough early on in my career. It's like, why is he starting to where I just became numb to that? But the level of like not caring as far as perception goes, because for the two that don't like you, it's 22 that feels everything that you got going on. You know, that's kind of how, and maybe I'm blind, you know.
Notice the interesting name he mentioned, two.
Two.
Yeah. For every two that don't like you, there are 22 that feeling what you're doing.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? There's like 22 people in the chat and you're referring to the two of us?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. What I'm saying is.
You get what I'm doing right there, Schaefer?
Oh, I got it.
So for every two that don't like you, I'm like, one, two.
No. For me, it's always just been a matter of being comfortable, you know? And that's a hard thing to do in society these days with so, what is it, 180 characters now?
A lot of 240 now.
Is it 240? Is it really? The way people view themselves ain't what reality is sometimes.
That's
so
for sure.
I've just grown comfortable in being uncomfortable too. I think that's an art form where people always want to be a certain way. Nah, I know I'm a big guy. I embrace that.
But I think that's part of being a professional athlete though.
Is it?
Because there's so much. I mean, I'm observing you and observing professional athletes doing it, in that you have to be uncomfortable in the uncomfortableness because there's so much uncertainty in every play, in every snap. And you're trained and you're elite at what you do.
Yeah.
But I think, look, if you screw up, you got 65,000 people who see it and millions on TV.
Yeah.
You have to live in that uncertainty.
Of course, the whole rabbit ears things, like I would probably agree earlier in my college career, I was message board guy trying to make sure I was being accepted. I'll be real about that. And I think everybody does. We're watching that draft last night too. Some of those guys got picked later in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That look on their face.
Yeah.
That acceptance and expectation. Again, that's why when we were speaking about Kennedy Chandler, we throw a little sports in this, Jay. Like, most times, everybody asks for a chance. Just give me a shot. Like, I'll feel sorry for a guy, man. That's messed up. You ain't supposed to be that way. You know what I'm saying? But, heck, I look at it. There's somebody right now at UT Austin that ain't even getting a sniff, and they killed it. You know what I'm saying? They absolutely killed it as far as their college career go. I'm looking at the guys that went in the second rounds like, we saw Draymond do it. I think Dallas got a point guard right now that's supposed to be a highly heralded free agent signing this offseason.
Jokic.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of just dudes that are just, you got to find your way and navigate this life thing. And this ain't a life lessons thing, but it's really just a, be comfortable being uncomfortable
sometimes.
Yeah,
I think that's an important lesson.
Rick in Nashville. Rick, what do you have?
What's up, Rick?
I want to do like a fan appreciation, but aimed at you guys. Because a lot of people call in, they make as much sense as a football bat, and they talk to you guys about certain things. And you talked about want to be on point with who you're interviewing and the nervousness about it, make sure that you knock it out. It's the same thing when you make a phone call in. You want that person to be able to hit the points, hit them fast, get off the line so the next man gets on. Mm. And that's what I love about your show. I've listened to you guys for years. I know you guys are new players in the house now, Slay and Foster and all of them. It's also from their perspective, being professionals like they were. And like yesterday, the color thing with the sports, if your son goes here, do you wear their colors when he went to this school? Stuff, you make such great stuff for the fans to call in about, the banter, the comedy. I mean, you guys are just, from top to bottom, every show, you're all aces. And I just want to take a minute out of my day to say I appreciate what you guys do. And just, I love the show, and I hope you guys just keep it rocking for years to come. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Appreciate that, man.
That takes a lot. To actually call in and say something like us, it's people, man. All my motto is, man, I've kind of said it time to time. Everybody just be good to everybody.
Yeah,
and I know that's a fake reality because it's just some bleeps in this society.
And you know what? If you don't like the show, f*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Call in on Thursday.
You got the Draymond cut?
I don't, but I can.
Can we play that one? I know.
It better be the edited version if you're going to play that one.
Because you ain't handsome.
That's a different cut.
Damn, Sean ain't cute. But yeah, Jay, that's understandable.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from exactly, but
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love you all.
That's my attitude, Jay. I'm going to be real with you. I appreciate everything. If you don't like it, man, hey.
I love it. Cousin Andrew, too much ass kissing. Y'all suck. Thank you.
See?
That's it.
Back at it, baby. Back on point, baby.
Number 17, short people.
Can you grab that off the top shelf, please?
Andrew's 5'6".
Which number is it? Which number?
Andrew needs help 17. Getting the brown rice off the top of the shelf.
Hey, you want some help getting the big bottle of salsa? Which number again, Jay? 17.
17 on 22. And I don't mean Derrick Henry. I mean January 22.
Oh.
I don't know. I just felt like being violent for no reason. Like, that was out of context. Or no, I wouldn't say anything negative about Tannehill today.
Cousin Andrew in the chat.
Believe you, Jason Martin.
Yeah, that's it. And that's actually his voice saying it as well. He's used to hearing that sentence from his own wife.
No, he's used to this.
Kiss my ass.
Hey, there it is. Final segment of the show. We'll finish up this list a little bit. Yay. We need to get to those PFFs. But look, man, we got a lot of shows and we got a lot of summer, man.
We got about a month left.
We'll finish up the show.
We want to.
Jay Martin and Moe, 104.5 The Zone.
And as always, f*** everybody else.
And I felt like I was a mature.
No. Don't ever say that word. I am mature. Don't go with you run, Slay. No.
That's good.
He said he was mature.
Yeah, that's...
That was a lie, Ronald Sylvester.
I don't think he is on the list. Number 17, drama queens.
Drama queens.
Everything elicits more emotional drama than you can possibly imagine. They'll call you in the middle of the night to cry about the horrible breakup they had with the love of their life who they went out with twice. If you're out shopping with them and a salesperson doesn't cater to their every whim, they'll speak to a manager. They send food back at restaurants for no good reason, complain about everything, need to be the center of attention at all times, love to gossip, and get personally involved whenever a tragedy takes place. They thrive on drama.
Ooh.
And will stir it up if it's not there, and everybody ends up walking on eggshells to keep from setting them off.
That's a terrible person right there. I would not want to be friends with that type of person.
Number 18, misers.
Huh?
Cheapos.
Oh.
Spend as little money as possible on absolutely everything and try to weasel free stuff out of others whenever they can. Go out for dinner with a group. They'll pay exactly their share to the last penny. Won't tip. Or they'll have accidentally forgotten their wallets and swear to pay you back next time. They love to enjoy wonderful things, but either can't afford to pay for them or want other people to buy those things for them.
Yeah. Yep, that's for sure. Yeah, some family members like that.
Number 19, sentence finishers.
Ooh.
Can't have a conversation with this type of person because they assume they know what you're going to say before you say it and take the liberty of finishing your sentences for you. Disrespectful and annoying. Goes beyond just being interrupted, as instead of blurting out their own thoughts while you're trying to speak, they're actually arrogant enough to assume they just know what you're about to say and will say it for you just in case you can't do it yourself.
Well, then speak better.
Why are they in the chat calling Buck a drama queen?
No matter how many times you call them out on this, they just won't get it in their minds. They're empathizing with you so much that they're just getting right into the conversation with you, right? And then number 20, the ghost. Might totally disappear on you for days, weeks, even months or years. You might make plans with them. Instead of letting you know they can't make it, they just won't respond to your texts. Won't show up in arranged time and place. They'll have an excuse for their behavior, of course. Usually making themselves out to be either a victim or a hero of whatever circumstance they find themselves in. Ask for forgiveness, another chance. After all, it wasn't their fault, right? Funny thing is, it might not be their fault, but not for the reasons they're trying to use. Many people who ghost like this suffer from mental health issues.
Really?
Such as severe anxiety or borderline personality disorder.
Hey, now.
I'm a person that if I make plans, up until I'm actually in the car going to the event,
I'm wishing you had not made the plan.
About the event and want to do everything I can to get out of it or move it.
Yep.
We've all met people. I think that's a lot of people. Is that y'all going out? Yep. All right. Yeah, now, just hit me
but
up.
But once I'm in the car going there or once I'm there, I'm fine.
One of my telltale things of being a guy like that sometimes is just hit me up when y'all going. Like, if you hit me up when y'all going, it's probably...
You know what actually helped me out with that? With a buddy of mine, we will set a date, not necessarily a date, but a time.
Yeah.
But if you're early or late, it doesn't matter. Just as long as you get there.
This is interesting. Don Miguel Ruiz wrote The Four Agreements, which is a book that's cited in something I watched recently. I thought it was a joke, but it's actually a thing. And one of the four agreements is try not to take it personally. Yeah. This is similar to what Moan said in the last segment. Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. If you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. We'll be in meetings here at work after the show and still keep going after each other. It's like, it's just, this is what we do.
That's right.
That was personal.
Sometimes, once in a while.
No. We all know somebody on that list, though. For sure, it might be some of ourselves. So that's a cool little list to have. Which one are you?
Of what?
No, I'm just saying in general. That's what you can ask if you carry that list.
I'm probably like four or five.
There's probably some degree of them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's pieces of them where you feel convicted, and then there's some where you're like, yeah, I know some people like that.
I gotta fix this. Yeah. Nah, it's cool.
It was kind of like when we did that guy.
Yes.
You were at least a few of them.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's why it worked. Like, we're not calling out anybody. We're calling out everybody.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Jeep guy, too, man. Y'all have been on point this summer. Like, I hadn't seen anything just egregious, man. It's been like, okay, you're doing far too much.
Oh, what I love about Jeep guys, they'll have on the back tire the cover that says, if this is upside down, flip me back over. I'm like, no, if you're upside down, you're screwed. I ain't helping you out.
I saw a sticker on the back of a Jeep yesterday that said, we don't care about your stick family. And it was a Jeep rolling over the stick family sticker. And I was just thinking to myself, we also don't care about the 17 other Jeep stickers you have on the back of this along with this. Like, yeah, the stick family's annoying.
Yeah.
So are you, bro.
I saw one yesterday. Someone was talking about Jeep stickers.
By the way, Casey in the chat, you said, I'm that guy. Well, if you're Jeep guy, I'm not apologizing. So don't ask.
You're Jeep guy. You're just one step above Lee's shopping cart. In the median guy.
There was one yesterday I saw that said, you should see me topless. I was like, what? Then I realized, the Jeep is
clever.
That was
very, very. Brad's dad jokes were much better than that.
Oh. The local one, Wild Horse Saloon and Tesla, that was outstanding.
Mona, have fun on your trip.
Yeah, man. A little break before it gets back crazy again for the kiddos.
Guess we'll see you for one day.
Friday.
A week from today, and then you'll be back middle of the week after. I'm going to have Rhett Bryan in. I'm going to have Kayla Anderson in. We're going to have Jeff Jarrett in one day as well, hosting the show. Speaking of interesting hosts, Lucas Panzica
is
coming up next in Buck's chair.
Lucas branches out.
So Lucas doing 3 hours of radio today.
Woo!
And somehow it's going to be easier for him, even though his job involves more stress, simply because of the absence
a Buck Rising.
By the way, from us, man, from J-Mon and Ramon Schaefer included in that, man, congratulations and good luck this weekend to nephew Selly, who's getting married.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, hey, absolutely, Selly.
Stay cool. Stay cool now. Boy, I hope that wedding's inside. But congratulations, man. We'll always find a way to congratulate our folks. Jay, you good?
Yep, see you Monday.
Schaefer, you good?
Always.
And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic is always hot.
Twitter fingers, can you believe it?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.